Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
It's information to support the show. DeborahLindsay.com, going to the blog. Thank you so much for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Get involved. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News. Bum, 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 bum.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. There's a similar cadence to the political chants now. Obama at Democratic rallies.
Go McCain.
Go McCain in Ohio today.
This is a time when we need to be encouraging more investing, not taxing it. We can't let them get away with making a bad economy even worse. Now's the time to grow our economy, and that's what I'm going to do.
If you want to know where John McCain will drive this economy, just look in the rearview mirror. Because when it comes to our economic policies, John McCain has been right next to George Bush.
The latest CBS News New York Times poll says Barack Obama is comfortably ahead of John McCain. Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton.
Among likely voters, including those who lean towards a candidate, 52% now support Barack Obama and Joe Biden. 41% support John McCain and Sarah Palin. Just 5% of likely voters remain undecided.
And that 5% could not make the difference for McCain if those poll numbers hold. North Carolina Senate candidate Kay Hagan is suing Elizabeth Dole for refusing to take down a TV ad.
The Republican-sponsored Elizabeth Dole ad questioning her opponent's Christianity has generated a firestorm of controversy here in North Carolina.
A leader of the Godless Americans PAC recently held a secret fundraiser in Kay Hagan's honor.
The Democratic challenger is out with an ad which cites the Ninth Commandment of bearing false witness.
I am absolutely outraged. How could she go this low?
Hagan teaches Sunday school and is an elder at her church. Polls have her leading the incumbent Dole. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
There are some good news items for the economy. Earnings for some companies are either up or doing better than expected. World banks have dropped interest rates, as did the Fed. Oil prices are moderating, and the dollar has stabilized.
Energy and financial companies have been leading the charge in the past couple of sessions. Energy rallying on news that ExxonMobil reported a quarterly profit of $15 billion. That shattered Exxon's previous record, and in fact is the best profit of any U.S. corporation ever.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus. Wall Street just shrugged today after gross domestic product figures came out showing the third quarter was in recession by 0.3 points. The expectation was worse than that. The Dow gained about 190 points on the day. The Nasdaq was up 41. The S&P up 24. Oil prices were back down below $66 a barrel. The Beatles are coming to video games. It's a deal between MTV Games and Harmonix and the Rock Band series to take players through the creative process. Yoko Ono declared it is cool. Ringo Starr said let the games begin. And Paul McCartney said young people will get to know the music from the inside out. This is CBS News.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck-deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did, and QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
There was a time T stood for Talladega, which is still true. But today, T stands for something totally different because the clock is ticking in the chase for the Sprint Cup. This week, T is for a full tilt tussle that's touch and go at times but always too close to call. This week, T is for tightening up them belts for a tachometer thumping, teeth clenching track deep in the heart of Texas.
The chase continues on ABC, Sunday at 3 Eastern with the Dickies 500 at Texas.
Airfares have been up, but not for long. With fewer of us able to reach down and find money for holiday travel, airlines have to compete, and that means better prices.
It's been tough to find a bargain airfare, and that's had a lot of Americans rethinking their holiday travel plans. Now word that some airlines are cutting prices.
They haven't had one single system-wide airfare sale since last Christmas. Today they're getting their Christmas present early. They got another sale, probably anywhere between 20 to 25% off.
Tom Parsons of bestfares.com says the best bargains will be found at regional airports and on routes where the big airlines compete with low-cost carriers. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Well, car sales are down in the U.S., but in Saudi Arabia, there is money. Car makers are expecting big sales increases there. Luxury cars in particular are strong. The experts say it's because they're making so much on the oil business. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How to put your energy bill on ice. Step 1. Head to the Home Depot. Step 2. Pick up a more energy-efficient Energy Star refrigerator for 10% off. Step 3. Open your new energy bill. Voila! Much cooler.
Right now, get 10% off all appliances of $299 or more. And to help save you even more, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 items throughout the store. At the Home Depot, you can do it. We can help. Ends November 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
An official message from Medicare.
Today, I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, heard up and down the left coast from Big Sur in California all the way to the Canadian border. And a shout out to our weekend listeners in Portland, in Seattle, and Missoula, Montana. We got the power pack show for you today. It is so full, we have no coverage of the Phillies World Series victory or Madonna's pending divorce. Sorry about that. Because there are more important things, like restoring our constitutional rights in this country. In a moment, Mark Klein, who blew the whistle on the NSA wiretaps at AT&T in San Francisco, will join us. He is prominently featured in the new book by James Bamford called The Shadow Factory, and we'll refer to that in a moment as well. Later this hour, Caroline Frederickson of the American Civil Liberties Union will return to our show, and they have compiled an agenda that reflects my interests. And as John McCain goes around trying to smear Barack Obama and lead you to believe that his major focus is the redistribution of the wealth of fat cats, well, the real issue here is restoring constitutional rule in our country. And we'll talk with Caroline about that later this hour. In our second hour, Scott Dick visits with us, our expert on military and veterans issues. There's lots to talk about. Are the Afghans ready to talk with the Taliban without preconditions? Whoa, we'll talk about that and many other issues, too. And your calls and comments, welcome. In our free speech zone in the third and final hour, any call to the Peter B. Collins Show is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency with complicity and collusion by Democrats in Washington. Mark Klein, as we mentioned, worked for AT&T. He's now retired from the phone company. But he did us all a great service because he noted in two buildings where he was assigned in San Francisco, the construction of new rooms that were sealed off, and the use of a massive switch to divert telecommunications, including email, cell phone calls, voice over IP, and regular landline telephone calls. so that virtually all the traffic passing through that switch could be captured by the National Security Agency. And at the time, it was being done without warrants and, in my view, in clear violation of the FISA law. Mark Klein, a real hero, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks. Glad to be here again.
And I'm glad to have you with us because having read James Bamford's Shadow Factory, subtitled The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America, I came away with a better picture of what you discovered, Mark, and also what we're able to determine is the scope of what has so far been disclosed. And I hasten to add that there are a lot of Rumsfeldian unknown unknowns here, where we are not privy to every method that they are using to monitor our communications. But what we do know and what is non-classified is detailed in Bamford's book. And let me start here that the major shift in the NSA's ability to monitor communications occurred with the development of the Internet and the shift from satellite transmission of long-distance and overseas calls to fiber optic cables that were laid under the oceans and across the land masses throughout the 1990s and well into this decade. And, Mark, explain to our listeners what difference that made to the NSA, because most of the traffic that they wanted to monitor was no longer bouncing off satellites.
Well, from their point of view, they complained that it's easy to pick up radio signals in space, and so those kind of communications for years they would pick up without worrying about any legal problems or technical problems. But when data gets transferred on fiber optic cables buried in the ground and under the ocean, it's harder to tap that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it passes through the U.S., there's also legal obstacles that were in their way, mm-hmm. as they regarded it.
And Mark, one of the other technological developments that made it harder for them to intercept communications is the way data is transmitted across the Internet in packets and in a nonlinear manner, so that my voice right now is going across an ISDN line, and it could be in packets that go different routes from point A to point B, and they are reassembled at point B to make a coherent stream of audio. But it's harder to intercept all of those packets because they don't all go on the same route from point A to point B.
Well, there's ways to do it, but I wouldn't want to overplay the difficulty. In actuality, the new Internet communications make things a lot easier for the NSA to capture everybody's communications, because once data is transformed into ones and zeros, into digital information,
mm-hmm.
then you can have a computer automatically scan everything and look for stuff, and you don't have to have manual labor go to somebody's house and clip on alligator clips and, mm-hmm. you know, do tape recordings.
Yeah.
But you could have a computer do it across the country, lots of computers. And so it gets vastly easier for them to search for things, collect things, and store them. And so in that sense, it's vastly easier to do spying.
Interesting. And what are some of the other tech issues that caused, and this may involve some speculation on your part, but that caused the administration to determine that the FISA process was too complicated, too time-consuming, and they wanted to tap and tap now. What do you see in the rationale that they used to bypass the FISA law and risk exposure to a criminal penalty for violating my Fourth Amendment rights?
Well, I think that... There's my dog going off.
That's all right.
I think that argument was overplayed by the NSA that they needed a new FISA law, because they got new updates to the FISA law in the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act was updated several times since October 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using that update argument that they needed updates to modernize it to slip through an immunity clause for the telecoms and for the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the real reason, in my view, for the endless lobbying for updating. they could. One of the points that's made in Danforth's book that was so useful is that he pointed out NSA was tracking the hijackers before 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and they'd actually set up their headquarters a few blocks from NSA headquarters, and the NSA was tracking them and could have, you know, collected the information and sent it to the appropriate authorities, but because of, and this was under the old rules where they had to get a FISA warrant and all that stuff. But it didn't get forwarded to the right higher ups because of various bureaucratic obstacles and strange kind of screening going on by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that they couldn't find this stuff because they needed to update FISA is a straw man fake argument.
Yeah.
I believe it was an argument put forward so that they could slip in the immunity clause.
Hmm. Interesting. What else did you find either new or revealing in Jim Bamford's book?
Well, Bamford also verified through a couple of NSA people who were actually listening to actual phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And came forward. Adrienne Kinney was one of them. She was a military specialist working for the NSA, listening to phone calls and recording them, transcribing them, picking out what's useful and so forth. That information, Bamford reveals, that they were totally abusing the whole warrantless program just to listen in to Americans talking to Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those phone calls that Adrienne Kinney listened to, as you can read in the book, and she was on Democracy Now, I believe, revealed that they were listening to, like, Americans in Baghdad calling home to their families and having pillow talk about, you know, I miss you, honey, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they were just passing that around and laughing about it. And there was no warrants about that. So they're listening to Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Americans calling Americans. And it was totally abused. And that, so this is hard first-hand evidence of how it was abused. And that was just one little sliver of what they were doing. Who knows what they were doing elsewhere
mm-hmm.
with all the secret rooms that they had inside the United States.
Yeah. And Mark Klein, you exposed the two rooms, the Folsom Street building and the Bush Street building in San Francisco.
No, there was only one room that I know of, and that was at Folsom Street.
Folsom, okay, I'm sorry. And then Bamford identified similar rooms at switches all across the country.
Yeah, I heard about some of them, which I mentioned in my declaration to the court, that there were several cities on the West Coast that I was told about, and the documents point to Atlanta as another one.
Mm-hmm.
And the experts who looked at it figured they probably had 15 or 20 rooms to cover the United States.
Yeah. And to me, what this book really affirms, Mark Klein, is the massive scope. That the Bush administration has tried through its PR moves to say that it's only carefully targeted individuals who are subject to this kind of interception. But the equipment that they're using is designed to capture absolutely everything. And so anything that passes through these switches is being subject to monitoring and recording. And Bamford reports the terabytes, I mean huge amounts of data that have been collected and stored, and their ability to do voice analysis and voice mining. You have a pretty interesting and unique voice, Mark. They only need to identify it once, and then they could pull it out of a million phone calls that are passing through these high-speed computer filters. And so the scope of it, the depth of it, and the technical capabilities to drill down and find that needle in a haystack are both impressive and chilling at the same time.
Right. Now, I didn't work on the voice side of the house, except I was on the Internet side, which carries voice over Internet phone calls, not the traditional old-style phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, and when I knew the equipment and I saw the equipment that they were working with and the documents showed it, and I knew right away when I saw it that they were not just looking at a few individuals as the administration tried to picture it, but the splitters that were put in were blindly copying millions and millions and billions of messages every
mm-hmm.
day.
Yeah.
And so their story was just, you know, a total prevarication of what actually was going on.
Mark Klein is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want you to pick up Jim Bamford's new book, The Shadow Factory. Mark is an important source in the book, and there's a lot of powerful information here. The Shadow Factory, subtitled The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America. We'll continue in a moment, and if you dare, give us a call. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when
I've come to work. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey-Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
This one's for Benny, the imaginary NSA monitor who drew the short straw and has to listen to the Peter B. Collins Show every day. Hey, Benny, you at Fort Meade or maybe in Hawaii? We continue with Mark Klein, retired from AT&T, left the phone company, and has blown the whistle on the information that he discovered about the intercepts in San Francisco, where AT&T collaborated with the National Security Administration to intercept our email and phone transmissions. And, Mark, when you look at this and see the scope of it all, just how much privacy do we have left, in your opinion?
Well, not much of any, as far as I can see. We only lack, you know, the total police agency like a Gestapo kicking in your door. But I think they have the capability to listen to just about anything now, and not just listen, but track your information, your banking, your whatever you do out there on the Internet.
Sure, with the GPS on your phone or the fast track in your car for a bridge toll, they can gather information about where you are.
With the last FISA bill that was passed, they really don't have any legal obstacle, as far as I can tell, to go after anyone they want when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the information that's in Jim Bamford's book was made available to the members of Congress who voted for this FISA law? Do you think they knew even this much of the unclassified detail that Bamford gives us?
Well, you know, we've run into this before, but one of the appalling things, and I think the reason why the Democrats in the end rammed through the immunity, was they were culpable in the original warrantless program. The top leaders of the Democratic Party were let in on the secret early on. There was only about a dozen Congress people back in 2003 who knew. But by 2008, when Congress finally passed the immunity clause, there was something like, I think the estimate in the final debate in the Senate, 37 senators were briefed on the secret program, and something like 40 members of the House. And that was included a lot of Democrats on both sides of the aisle. And so the top leaders at least knew what they were voting for.
And you still have not been invited to testify before any congressional committee, is that right?
No, they don't want to talk to me.
Jeez.
No, I've never been invited to any.
And no member of Congress has called and said, hey, I'd just like to have a chat with you and find out what you know?
No, no. The only one that was really friendly was, of course, was Senator Dodd, who actually read into the congressional record some of my material.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one who was bold enough to do that.
That's just a real shame. Here's Dave in Eureka listening on KGOE. Go ahead, Dave.
Peter. Mark, on behalf of the many of us who are on the receiving end of this abuse, I thank you for all that you're trying to do and Jim Bamford as well. But one thing I'd like you to ponder with me, almost everything ends up on computers now. The polling companies take a poll, national poll, and those computers also can be invaded, and these tech goons can go in and flip the results to make them more compatible with what they want. Do you consider that possibility?
Oh, absolutely. There's no controls on the voting machine.
No, or the polls.
Or the polls, too. I don't know too much about how they do the polls, so I know there's a problem right away in that since a lot of youth have cell phones and not wired phones anymore, they're not necessarily reached by polls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that skews it, the polls to the right. I don't know if the polls can be rigged like you're suggesting.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. And Mark Klein, again, I thank you for the service you performed. It angers me that our elected leaders are not interested in finding out what you know. And I wish every one of them would read Jim Bamford's book. It is stunning to learn that Verint and Naris are these two private companies that have the contracts to assist the NSA with a lot of this monitoring. And they are controlled by Israelis with a background in Israel's NSA called unit 8200. And as we see that, it's just very chilling to see the outsourcing of spying on American citizens well outside the bounds of our Constitution. Thank you, Mark Klein.
Okay, thanks for being here. Thanks again.
Okay, good to talk with you. Next, we talk about fixing the problem with Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. When you set your clocks back 1 hour, which we're all supposed to do this weekend as we go back to standard time, you may be doing your heart a favor. A Swedish study has looked at 20 years of records and discovered that the number of heart attacks dipped the week after clocks were turned back, and in the spring, when clocks were pushed forward, there was an increase in heart attacks. Getting that extra hour of sleep in the fall and losing that extra hour of sleep in the spring is apparently the explanation. Doctors are now saying that sleep, through a variety of mechanisms, affects our cardiovascular health. It not only impacts how we feel, but apparently affects whether we develop heart disease. The story after this.
My fellow Americans, you deserve more from your TV. And DirecTV gets you more. DirecTV gives you 150 channels for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. With free installation. With no equipment to buy. And no startup costs. Plus, ask how you can access up to 130 channels in glorious high def from DirecTV. That's three times more than cable. That's more than Dish Network. And you'll still get all your local channels. The choice is clear. The choice is DirecTV.
Lock in your price for 1 year. 150 channels for just $29.99 a month for 1 year. Call 888-578-DIRECTV. That's 888-578-DIRECTV. 888-578-DIRECTV.
Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Lease and credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
There is so much computerized data being collected and stored nowadays that researchers can make some fascinating discoveries without having to deal with people at all. All they need is that data. In the New England Journal of Medicine is a letter from two Swedish doctors who studied Sweden's comprehensive registry of heart attacks to see if there was any pattern of increase or decrease when clocks are set forward or back to and from daylight and standard time as a manifestation of disruptions to sleep and the body's internal clock. And sure enough, from data collected between 1987 and 2006, comparing the number of heart attacks on each of the 7 days after the time shift with the corresponding day 2 weeks earlier and 2 weeks later, overall there was a 5% increase in heart attacks after springing forward, with a 6% bump on Monday and a 10% bump on a Tuesday. And in the week after fall back, the numbers were about the same, but with a 5% decrease in heart attacks on the Monday. So when you're making the time change in either direction, remember that the clock may not be the only ticker you're monkeying with. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
You've just heard from whistleblower Mark Klein and quotes from James Bamford's new book about the chilling scope of the surveillance of American citizens by the National Security Administration. That's just one of the things we got to fix in the coming administration. And the ACLU's put together a job jar, a honey-do list for the next president. It's 83 pages long. And that's just dealing with the constitutional issues. We've been on the road to hell, driven into a ditch, and Bush is still at the wheel.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Caroline Fredrickson returns to our program. She works for the American Civil Liberties Union in the Washington office, working on legislative matters, and she's been front and center on the FISA battle and many other issues related to the rollback in our constitutional rights under Bush and Cheney. And we got to keep Addington in there, too, because his blueprint, his fingerprints are all over many of these issues. Caroline, welcome back to our program.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And John McCain's been out there trying to fear people up about what he calls the redistributionism. I don't even think that's a word, promised by Barack Obama. But what I really prefer to focus on is the restoration of constitutional rule in this country that I will hope will take place if and when Barack Obama becomes president in January.
Well, you know, I work for a nonpartisan organization, so I'm not going to comment on specifically, you know, which nominee would be a better president, although mm-hmm. I can tell you that just based on the ACLU scorekeeping, and this is a factual matter, if you look at our website, you'll see that Barack Obama has an 88% record, and John McCain has a 17% record of mm-hmm. support of ACLU positions. So certainly, you know, we would anticipate, you know, Senator Obama to have a greater affinity for the issues that we are discussing in our transition document. Both candidates, though, I would say, have embraced our top objective, which is we need to close Guantanamo day one of the next presidency.
Yeah. Well, and I do commend John McCain for that because he's been wobbly on the issue. He stood against the Bush administration for a time, and then as it became closer to his shot to run for president, he accepted a series of compromises and essentially was skunked through a signing statement that Bush added to the legislation that, you know, putatively stopped the torture regimes.
That's absolutely right. And the other thing that was really problematic that John McCain did was he supported the Military Commissions Act.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but that's the piece of legislation where Congress decided that it could take away habeas corpus rights from people at Guantanamo and other detainees. And, you know, our Supreme Court, not exactly a liberal body, answered that very definitively and said, Congress, you do not have the power to take away constitutional rights.
Yeah. So, day one, stop torture, close Gitmo, end extraordinary renditions. And these can all be accomplished by an executive order, can't they?
That's right. Absolutely. Stroke of a pen. You don't even have to wait for 100 minutes to go by. He could do it as soon as he's inaugurated. And it's so important, I think we all understand, for many reasons. For one, these are critical constitutional protections, and we need to make sure they are back at part of our understanding of what the United States is all about. But we also have a role in the world to play. And up until we actually take some action in this area, we lose credibility in our efforts to make the world come along with us on a whole host of other issues, including financial, mm-hmm. at the moment.
Well, and one of the things that I would like to see, and I'm just looking at the language used here, is honest descriptions of what American policies are. So instead of ending extraordinary rendition, I would refer to that as extending the illegal kidnapping and transportation of individuals who have not been charged with a crime.
That's right. It's absolutely right. And, you know, it's a sort of a weird term. We're using it because that's kind of the nomenclature. That's the the term of art, as they might say, in a legal process.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's absolutely that. It's when the United States government goes to another country, kidnaps somebody off the street, you whisk them to another country where they can be put in prison and tortured. Things that we can't, at least theoretically, under the law that we know, we can't do in our own country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we pay such a price for this. And we have alienated friendly nations. We have alienated the populations of countries that didn't necessarily have a dog in this fight. And we really, to my knowledge, are no safer because we have snatched people and arranged for them to be tortured, if not tortured them under our own auspices. And then what we've produced is really just more recruiting vigor for enemies of the United States.
Peter, you know, what's so funny is that I'm, you know, in the process of preparing for a transition and a new Congress, I've been going back through a lot of old material and trying to get ready and make our arguments as strong as possible. I was going back through Eric Lischblau, the New York Times reporter. He wrote a book called Bush's Law. And it describes a number of things, from warrantless wiretapping to torture and all the policies inside the Bush White House and the Justice Department. But there's, at the epilogue, you know, he's talking to Tom Ridge, who had been the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and Ridge is describing to Eric Lischblau how he was meeting with a high-level official from another country when he was the Secretary, who said, you know, you people have really gone off the rails. The United States used to be such a leader in the world on all sorts of important issues, and yet, and the quote is, yet you conduct your affairs in a way very different from the rest of the world. And then Ridge says to Eric Lischblau that he agrees with this guy. And he agreed with him, you know, he says, you know, that Guantanamo, holding individuals at Guantanamo indefinitely never made a hell of a lot of sense to me. I mean, we're talking about Tom Ridge here. And, you know, the idea that George Bush has kept this facility open for all these years when there has been such dissension, not just from other countries, but here in his very own cabinet.
And Caroline, this begs the question, what other facilities do we have that have not been publicly revealed? We know there was a military base in Poland where we were holding people. We know that Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan has been a dark site, a black site, where people have been detained and tortured. But there's a lot we don't know still, and we have to have some sort of misguided faith in the Bush administration to believe that Guantanamo is the only detention center that we have in the world right now.
Yeah, well, that's clearly not the case. I mean, there are even some known ones, Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. There are prisons in Iraq. But, you know, as you mentioned, there are probably a lot of other ones that are a secret. Those are the places where the CIA takes people, where the CIA engages in extraordinary rendition, keeps people locked up. That's where they had some of the people who were later moved to Guantanamo were in these secret prisons around the world. And, you know, it's obviously an issue for the next president to tackle in the next Congress. There's so much we don't know about what the Bush administration has really done. I think it's going to be a very sad awakening for all of us as more and more information is uncovered about the extent of the illegal and immoral activities.
We're talking with Caroline Frederickson. They've prepared an agenda at the ACLU for the next president, a transition document, 83 pages long, primarily focused on restoring constitutional rule in this country. And it's something that I think is very welcome at this time, and I hope that it will be a blueprint for the next administration. Caroline, let me turn next to part two of your document, which is very important to me, not to undermine the other issues we've been discussing. But I want my Fourth Amendment back. And we spent the first half hour of this hour talking with Mark Klein, who worked for AT&T, blew the whistle on the intercept facility that they set up for the NSA in San Francisco, and is a primary source for James Bamford's new book, The Shadow Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to see Bamford's book?
I have not read it yet, but I know Jim, and he's a great guy, and, you know, really, and Mark Klein is a real hero.
Yes, he is.
You know, somebody who was willing to basically put his career at risk,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to step out, to be a whistleblower, to bring really important information to the public, and, you know, we can't commend him enough for what he did.
And you know Bamford because he's a plaintiff in your Detroit suit.
Absolutely. He, you know, he's one of those people who knows pretty darn well that he's being listened to by the NSA. And, you know, after all, he should know. He used to work there.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to invite you to read the book because it's all based on unclassified information. And it is chilling, the extent to which this is going on. It is not narrowly focused the way they want us to believe. It's not a terrorist surveillance program. It is capturing every communication going on. And it's only, based on their bandwidth and human capacity to monitor all this crap that really determines whether an intercept turns into something that is actually heard by someone else and put in a file for who knows how long. And then subject to, an FBI warrantless contact under the new Mukasey program, or a national security letter authorized by the Patriot Act. These are some of the insidious offshoots of the NSA monitoring program. And I just have to believe, Caroline, that the members of Congress who voted for this bad FISA law this summer don't know diddly. Even the unclassified information that's in Bamford's book.
Well, you know, that's absolutely right. And, you know, the sad thing, though, is, Peter, that I'm not sure they wanted to try and find out diddly. They didn't try very hard.
You know, Mark Klein...
A few of them, you know, there were even classified materials that were available to them in their... There's an actual center in the Capitol that mm-hmm. is where classified documents are held. It's, you know, very high security. Members of Congress can go in there. They can't take their notes out with them, whatever. It's supposed to prevent leaks and so forth of national security mm-hmm. information. But, you know, from what I understand, having talked to people, I could name, you know, one or two members of Congress who actually bothered to take the time to try and understand anything that was going on with these programs.
And Caroline,
and they supported them.
And Mark Klein told me, he updated me, that as of today, only Senator Chris Dodd has talked to him about what Mark Klein knows about the NSA intercept programs. That he's never been invited to testify before Waxman, Conyers, or any other of the investigative committees on Capitol Hill, and not the Intelligence Committee either.
Well, that's something I'm definitely going to raise with those members of Congress, because we converse with them regularly, and they all need to step up. I mean, what we have right now is a real opportunity. Assuming, you know, if there is a president in office who is willing to actually engage with Congress in some oversight, and that is allows some information to start to flow about what really went on inside the Bush administration, I think we really have an opportunity to, it's not just about revenge or retribution, although I think that's an important part to prevent bad things happening in the future, but what it's really about is figuring out what went wrong with these programs. They need to be fixed. They need to be stopped if they're still running and they're in violation of our Constitution and our laws. You know, and without that, you know, there is no way to ever prevent this from happening again. And, of course, it may happen again, but it's certainly much less likely if there are, you know, if Congress reasserts itself as a check on the administration.
Yeah. I mean, just one example in Bamford's book is he has NSA monitors who have gone public and talked about the way they cavalierly handle people's private communications, American to American. These are not supposed to be subject to intercept, particularly if there's no hint of any terrorist connection. Yet they not only monitored and intercepted those calls, but they traded around the recordings of them for their own amusement. And if they're willing to, you know, if the standards are so lax, and these people who are working long hours in dark rooms with headsets on get their kicks by, you know, monitoring and eavesdropping people's pillow talk and sexual conversations, it's just one example of the unregulated atmosphere of this monitoring program, and who knows how those recordings can be used in the future. Bamford reports terabytes of data have been collected, and rarely is any of it destroyed.
No, that's right. They don't seemingly don't destroy anything. They keep all of these things, and I understand that from Jim's book, he actually describes some of those calls were from soldiers,
yeah.
Soldiers in Iraq. You know, that, here are, you know, these people who are serving our country and putting their lives on the line, maybe calling home to have a private conversation with a loved one, and now they're the subject of ribald remarks by NSA, you know, operatives who are getting their jollies by listening to these conversations. It's so offensive, you know, but that the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
There's got to be a lot more because, as you just said, there's no oversight. There's no check and balance. Where does, you know, how do we know there won't be abuses in this kind of program?
It's
because
just
clearly there will.
It's just a big trust me, and we can't. We'll take a break and return with Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU. Visit their website at ACLU.org/transition. It's that simple. ACLU.org/transition. And you can see their 83-page lineup of ideas for the incoming president. There's an executive summary, too, if 83 pages is a little daunting to you. We'll take a break and continue. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's progressive voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
And protect your investments.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Alan Show rolls on. 8 minutes before the hour, my guest is Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU's Washington Legislative Office. We're talking about the transition memo that they have prepared for the next president of the United States. Available for you, it's a simple web address, aclu.org/transition. And it's a powerful list of to-do items, and I hope you'll take a look at it. Caroline, one more take on the NSA program from Jim Bamford's book that I found extremely chilling. There has been a lot of contracting, outsourcing of some of the activities of the NSA under the current administrator there. And two key companies are managing much of these intercepts, Verint and NARUS. And these two companies were founded by people who are all veterans of Israel's Unit 8200, which is their equivalent of USA. And, this just gets so scary when our own government is not even completely in control of an unconstitutional program of monitoring American citizens' communications. And these subcontractors, it's been shown that Verint and Naris keep back doors in the systems that they install, and they haven't been too shy about using that for their own interests.
Well, you know, you touch on one of the most troubling aspects of all of this is the deep-seated relationships between our intelligence community, our intelligence agencies, and these private shadowy companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know one version of it that happens with the telecommunications companies that were allowing the NSA to tap in to their communications backbones, as Mark Klein, I'm sure, described, very articulately when he was on earlier. But there is a whole other web of relationships that we are only starting to learn about. I mean, the FBI has its own, the CIA, of course, does, and NSA, they have all these subcontractors and different companies that are intimately involved in the intelligence activities of our government. And then, of course, there's the other side of it, which is the revolving door issue about how these government officials go into these companies afterwards or have friendships with people in those companies, which leads to a whole another insidious level of corruption and threat to our civil liberties.
Well, and their interests are not aligned necessarily with the interests of constitutional rule or even the interests of a current administration. We can't be sure.
Or even in the interests of our security. I mean, we have to be clear that there are a lot of things that have been undertaken that have been driven for other motives or justified by national security. But in fact, look at Iraq. I mean, you want to look at the behavior of contractors there. You see that profit is in many ways the major driver.
Mm-hmm.
And, we need to make sure that that doesn't happen in our national security arena, in our intelligence arena.
Here's Greta calling from Monterey, listening on KRXA. Hi, Greta.
Hi. I think that there will be a lot of different kinds of crimes that haven't been uncovered yet. If uncovered or made clear, if we get an administration that actually is interested in uncovering things, one of which I think is that these organizations have access to medical records. Therefore, they can blackmail people,
mm-hmm.
Lots of people, in different ways. They can also, should they wish to, use those medical records to poison people.
Well, Greta, what you're suggesting here is not at all paranoid or far-fetched. The data mining that they have been doing of publicly available records from your credit information to your Social Security file to your tax records to your voting record, they can correlate all of that data now and build a profile on you of information, some of which they got legally, some illegally. And when they mix all that soup together, Caroline Frederickson, we've got a constitutional nightmare.
Hold on,
Greta. Go ahead, Caroline.
And I was just going to say that the issue of health records is actually a very critical one. That's one of the issues that's touched on by the Patriot Act, because some of the records they can get are health records, and certainly the transactional records about when you go to your doctor's office and you pay for your visit or you buy any medication, they have all of that data as well that, as Peter said, gets assembled and put into a profile that may end up on the terrorist watch list if you
right.
don't watch out.
And Greta, because you called the program here today, I am now part of your circle of influence at your NSA file. And you and I will get adjoining suites at Gitmo.
I'm already there. But what they can also do is falsify those records.
Yes, they can. That's right. They have amazing powers to take the information they collect and splice and dice and edit it selectively. And so, Caroline, we've just scratched the surface here. But I want to recommend that people go to the ACLU website and read the either the summary or the full 83-page document here of your agenda for the next president. It's at aclu.org/transition.
Right. And Peter, if I could just say one more thing, you know, although we focus quite a bit on the national security, civil liberties issues, there's a whole host of other things in there dealing with civil rights, the restoration of the DOJ, the Department of Justice, civil rights division, dealing with the abortion gag rule, the death penalty, faith-based initiatives and so forth. And it's actually, it's long, but it's a good read. It gives you some hope for what can be accomplished in the future.
Well, thank you for advocating for us, and I hope we have a brighter tomorrow.
Well, we'll all hope so.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Caroline Frederickson from the ACLU, fighting for our civil liberties. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Clock is ticking in the presidential campaign.
I've just got two words for you. 5 days.
It's the final stretch.
There's less than a week to go. 5 days.
I'm Howard Ehrenstein.
A sign of recession, the economy shrank in the third quarter.
We haven't seen a quarter with this kind of reduction in consumer spending since the early 80s.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The latest CBS News New York Times poll shows a comfortable lead for the Democrats. Sarah Dutton of our survey unit has the breakdown.
Among likely voters, including those who lean towards a candidate, 52% now support Barack Obama and Joe Biden. 41% support John McCain and Sarah Palin. Just 5% of likely voters remain undecided.
We are now 5 days away from changing America.
Obama told Florida voters before flying to Virginia and Missouri he's not sitting on his lead.
We can't afford to slow down or let up for 1 day, for 1 minute. For 1 second in this last week.
There's less than a week to go. 5 days.
McCain spent the day driving through northern Ohio.
Last night, Senator Obama said that if he lost, he would return to the Senate and try again in 4 years with a second act. That sounds like a great idea to me.
McCain says he's catching up to Obama. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
McCain might need to find a more reliable plumber. Joe Wurzelbacher was expected at a rally in Defiance, Ohio.
Joe's with us today. Joe, where are you? Where is Joe? Is Joe here with us today? Joe, I thought you were here today.
Wurzelbacher did join McCain later at a rally in Sandusky. Now this.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Today, let's talk about commuting. You think yours is tough? Fact is, our cars and trucks just got to take it. That's why right now there's good wrench and go time to help your Chevy continue to take it. Just go back to your participating Chevy dealer and head down their good wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a good wrench multi-point vehicle inspection. With fuel prices the way they are, taking proper care of your Chevy can help you get more out of every mile. Good wrench and go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
Recession is often defined as two consecutive quarters of negative growth. We learned today that the economy shrank by 0.3% in the third quarter, primarily because consumer spending dropped sharply. Michael Santoli is an associate editor at Barron's.
We're looking for the fourth quarter to be even worse. The question is going to become, is that then the bottom? Is that then the trough that we sort of recover from, or does it continue to deteriorate into the first part of 09? We just don't know that yet.
Despite this report, the stock market moved higher today. The Dow gained 189 points to close at 9180. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus explains.
Wall Street sees there is a concerted effort on the part of world banks to work together to lower interest rates, to make borrowing cheaper, to bring liquidity back to the credit markets. And they're also seeing that the dollar has stabilized, oil is pulling back, and inflation is under wraps. So right now, at least, the market is looking at these positive indicators going forward.
The price of crude oil lost a buck and a half to settle just under $66 a barrel. Tom Cloza of the Oil Price Information Service says demand is down.
We drove less, not because of any kind of discipline or any notion that we're trying to do something patriotic or that's better for the planet. We drove less because the recession hit us hard and high prices hit us hard.
And people who've fallen behind in their bills are being hit hard. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has that.
Bad language, threats, repeated phone calls. Many Americans say they're being harassed by debt collectors. American consumers now owe more than $900 billion on their credit cards, and payments on more than 4% of bank-issued credit cards were late last quarter. With so much money owed, creditors are becoming more aggressive. Both the Federal Trade Commission and the Better Business Bureau say complaints from consumers are on the rise.
The Senate race in North Carolina has gotten ugly.
I'm Elizabeth Stoll. And I approved this message.
A leader of the Godless Americans PAC recently held a secret fundraiser in Kay Hagan's honor.
Republican incumbent Dole facing a serious challenge from Democrat Kay Hagan portrays Hagan as an atheist. Hagan insists she has a strong Christian faith. She's suing Dole to get the ad pulled. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did, and QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
There was a time tea stood for Talladega, which is still true. But today, tea stands for something totally different because the clock is ticking in the chase for the Sprint Cup. This week, tea is for a full tilt tussle that's touch and go at times but always too close to call. This week, tea is for tightening up them belts for a tachometer thumping, teeth clenching track deep in the heart of Texas.
The chase continues on ABC, Sunday at 3 Eastern with the Dickies 500 at Texas.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Every week at this time, we set aside an hour to talk military and veterans issues with somebody who's been there, who's worn the uniform. Scott Dick is our contributor. He served in the Marine Corps, then retired from the U.S. Army at the rank of major. He knows the shock, and he knows lots of awe.
Shock and awe. We came to live with them all.
Canadian-born. He's the bard of the Santa Cruz Mountains, Neil Young. Talking about the tragic errors and the arrogance of our invasion and occupation of Iraq. Scott Dick with us this hour. Lines open if you want to join this conversation at any time. 888-5. Peter B. is our number. 888-573-8372. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Things are wild and crazy, but we're hanging in there, and just a few more days until we can put this election behind us. And if it's not stolen, I'm optimistic that we're going to have a good outcome and some things to celebrate come Wednesday in the coming week.
We can only hope.
We must hope. And we also need to fight, and we need to be vigilant. California is pretty much in the bag. It looks like Obama's up by more than 22 points in the latest polls. But we do have some states where the opposition is well-oiled and ready to grab and purloin any votes that they can. So we're going to keep an eye on that. And we'll probably have our friend Brad Friedman on Election Day, covering the election integrity issues. Scott, I wanted to start with you with a speech that Defense Secretary Gates gave earlier this week regarding America's nuclear posture, nuclear deterrence. But first, I want to ask you if you think that Barack Obama, should he be elected, might actually keep Bob Gates on as Secretary of Defense.
I don't know. There's plenty of other great progressives that can handle that job. And I really am tired of this bipartisan stuff that the Democrats show that when the Republicans are in power, just completely ignore as if it never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Clinton kept a Republican.
Bill Cohen, Secretary of Defense, he was his second guy. We had Les Aspin first, and then Cohen.
Cohen, and you know, we as progressives had received zero credit for that from the Bush administration. So I want to see a good, strong Democrat in there doing a great job, so it puts to rest the lie that Democrats are soft on defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't disagree with you there. I really am trying to read Obama's intentions, and I think that he does want to try to project a bipartisan approach to governing, probably, you know, for window dressing more than you know, really giving Republicans great authority.
Then he should put him in the HUD and in the Department of Education.
Okay. not at the Pentagon. You're pretty firm about that.
Not at the Pentagon, not at state, not in any meaningful cabinet position. They need to put the Republicans where they can do the least amount of harm and have somebody that oversights everything they do, for example, the vice president.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons I brought this up is that nuclear proliferation is a critical concern of Barack Obama's. When he got to the United States Senate, he asked to be placed on the subcommittee that deals with those issues, and by some accounts, even from Republicans like Senator Lugar, they give him high marks for his awareness of the issues and his commitment to dealing with nuclear proliferation matters.
And you know why that might be, Peter?
Tell me.
Because unlike John McCain or Sarah Palin, Barack Obama has an undergraduate degree, a four-year degree in international relations, and nuclear proliferation is one of possible fields that you can focus on even at the undergraduate level. So he has already from the starting gate, moment one, much deeper knowledge of that than either one of those two candidates.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good point. So we have Bob Gates saying, today we will make clear that the United States will hold any state, terrorist group, or other non-state actor or individual fully accountable for supporting or enabling terrorist efforts to obtain or use weapons of mass destruction, whether by facilitating, financing, or providing expertise or safe haven for such efforts. Now, why does he feel the need to state this? Is that not standing U.S. policy?
I think it reflects two things. It reflects the abysmal record of late of nuclear weapons handling by the United States of America. Mm-hmm. In our Air Force. He fired the Secretary of Air Force and, I don't know, something like 24 Air Force generals. There are questions about whether we can continue to safeguard our nuclear arsenal. And that may be part of that effort to get everybody refocused and realigned. I mean, how could you send six active nuclear cruise missiles on a bomber down to Louisiana and have it go through what was supposed to be some very rigorous checks and balances?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first thing. That's sort of a I think, a message, a shot across the bow, if you will, to everybody who handles nuclear property in the United States inside our own government, probably reinforced with some strict punishment for failure. I would say there's probably a second memo down in the Department of Justice somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it looks like the United States has been weakened by Iraq and Afghanistan, and we are. We don't have the conventional forces available to even fight a decent fight in Afghanistan. So this is, a memo. Everybody who might want to just ask for plausible deniability by attacking the United States indirectly with a weapon of mass destruction, we'll find you and root you out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third, nuclear proliferation is a big issue. Since the 90s, we've been spending, I don't know what the dollar is now, but somewhere to the tune of $10 billion a year working with the Russians in their super-secret nuclear facilities in the center of Russia to keep all of their nuclear scientists happy and at home and working on the Russian arsenal. Plus, the Ukrainian missile fleet and all their nuclear weapons were rusting away, and so we've got cleanup to do all over the world, besides monitor countries like Pakistan that doesn't have a handle on their own nuclear maverick. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's all part of that. Somebody finally said to him, hey, look, Al-Qaeda is just a tip of the iceberg. Since you have this abysmal record of handling nuclear weapons inside the United States, maybe we ought to just refocus. I mean, we sent those nuclear fuses to Taiwan. They're supposed to be helicopter batteries, for God's sake.
Right. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you want to join us, 888-5-PETER-B. Now, last weekend, Scott, American forces from Iraq crossed over into the border of Syria, and this is a minor incursion, relatively speaking. It seems like they just came in a few miles with a couple of helicopters. But it has enraged the Syrians, who believe this was an unlawful violation of their borders. And we apparently were trying to hunt down a guy named Gadia, who is described as an Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia smuggler, who brings foreign operatives across the Syrian border into Iraq. That's the story coming from the United States. Syria says that civilians were killed and that this was an unnecessary and illegal raid by the U.S. What have you learned about this raid, and do you believe that the U.S. was justified?
Well, it is clearly a violation of international law. I don't know when that's ever stopped us before, except when other countries violate international law, we crow from the tallest barn that we could find. So it's a violation of international law. Peter, I don't know. We've killed the number two operative in Al-Qaeda, seven times now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's they killed civilians. And Syria is a secret ally. I mean, we rendered suspects to Syria. We have Americans in Syria. We have an embassy in Syria. We have Americans here. They're welcomed, it said in the news report I read.
And they have more than a million Iraqi refugees crowded into their country.
Yeah, so, while it's fun to demonize Syria, you notice they haven't been added to the axis of evil, blah, 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 blah. And so for us to do, it's one thing to mess around with Pakistan. It's another thing to mess around with the Syrians, and it's not that I'm afraid of the Syrians or anything, but, I mean, how many little mess kits do we want to poop in, so to speak?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that, but we turned a blind eye when Turkey crossed over both using airstrikes and ground forces into northern Iraq earlier this year. So maybe we just feel that any country that borders Iraq should recognize that we honor their borders on an elective basis. If it feels good, we'll do it. If not, we'll cross the border. I mean, we have reports of American troops going into Iran, and also proxies for the United States, warlord groups and other fighters, the mercenaries that we've hired and inserted into Iran over the past year. So we hardly have any moral high ground to talk about the sanctity of one's borders.
Right, and what it does is continue to erode any kind of international support for what we're doing. We're trying to claim that we're trying to export democracy to Iraq, yada, 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 BS, yada. And so when we do that, it looks more like it's a desperate acts of a country occupying another country that doesn't have its act together. And just let me bounce back real quick before I forget, Peter. The thing about Gates, too, you know, what I was surprised about that speech, and I know I gave you whiplash, is that he maintained the preemptive strike doctrine when it comes to nuclear proliferation.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make that point that first strike, when we think there might do us some harm, it's a dangerous doctrine.
It's
anyway,
the Bush doctrine.
The Bush doctrine. Well, McCain has been notably silent about the incursion into Syria.
That's right.
He mocked Barack Obama as being hopelessly naive when he talked about taking out targets as an answer to a question about in Pakistan. So McCain is obviously yabbering out both sides of his mouth, and it is interesting to see somebody who's so-called expert, self-proclaimed expert in national security policy, silent when he could, you know, try to develop some street cred by actually saying, hey, you know, I agree, disagree, and I think Bush is making a big mistake, blah, blah, blah.
Major Scott Dick with us, retired. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, your comments are welcome. Lines available at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm Todd Hornick, your local candidate for Monterey County Judge. When you cast your ballot, I'd like you to consider the following. I'm the only candidate who has actually worked in the Monterey County Courts, and I have devoted the last 14 years of my professional career to the service of this community. I have earned near universal law enforcement support, from firefighters to court clerks to the Herald, Californian, and Weekly endorsements, all of which are firmly based on my local experience and knowledge. I promise to earn your respect every day as your newest Superior Court judge and humbly ask for your vote. ToddHornickForJudge.com.
It's time for the 9th International Film Festival presented by the local United Nations Association with 14 excellent international documentary films, again at the gorgeous Golden State Theater in Monterey. There will be 4 film sessions, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, November 13, 14, and 15 at 7 p.m., and Sunday afternoon, November 16 at 2 p.m. Admission is just $5 per day with free entry for full-time students. These outstanding films concern global issues like human rights, the environment, impacts of globalization, and security. From 15 to 90 minutes long, and deal with countries and cultures as diverse as China, India, Bangladesh, New Guinea, Russia, Palestine, Argentina, and the U.S. Feature films include new documentaries, One Water, Stealing America Vote by Vote, The Judge and the General, about Pinochet of Chile, and Fire Under the Snow, about human rights in Tibet. That's November 13 to 16. At the Golden State. More at unamontereybay.org.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. With 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on Highway 68, just west of Scenic Drive, we have a traffic collision with no further details. CHP is on the way. Looking at northbound Highway 1 at 12th Street, there is some tire tread in lane number 3, so watch out there. Next, on southbound Highway 1 on the Fremont Boulevard off-ramp, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the way. Now, taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision on San Andreas Road at southbound Highway 1. CHP is on the scene there. Also in Santa Cruz, on Felton Road at Empire Grade Road, there is a big rig traffic hazard. A CHP unit is on the scene. That's your traffic on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
It's talk radio for the rhythm impaired. That would be me. He can't hardly dance, but he can talk just as good as he walks. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick with us this hour. And your calls and comments welcome on military and veterans matters. 888-5. Peter B. is our number if you served. Or if you're currently in uniform and you have some comments about our military and foreign policy, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Again, my number is 888-573-8372. And, Scott, I've got a video clip here from Lindsey Graham at a John McCain rally in Ohio earlier today. And, well, he cracked a couple of jokes, including one about torture that seems to be in really bad taste. Let's see if we can get... Oh, come on, clip load. Ah, it's loading right now. It's buffering. Here we go. Lindsey Graham.
Thank God for cable.
I think we missed a joke there.
They played that at a prison camp and it violated the Geneva Convention.
Okay, let's play this again. This is Lindsey Graham talking about Obama's half-hour special on television, and he said, did anybody see it? Thank God for cable.
Did anybody see the infomercial last night? Thank God for cable. If we'd played that at a prison camp, it'd have violated the Geneva Convention.
Now, this is ugly in a lot of ways, Scott, because Lindsey Graham is a military lawyer who has postured as somebody who, you know, is very vigilant about the U.S. Code of Military Justice, about the Geneva Conventions, and yet he was an enabler of the Bush administration in passing the Military Commissions Act and in trying to work around past legislation that was overturned by the Supreme Court to deny the prisoners at Guantanamo habeas corpus and the basic rights of access to American courts.
Well, and he was eloquent in 2005 and 2006 in the legislation to force the CIA to adhere to the standards set by the military as far as interrogating suspects, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rolled over like a puppy, like a good dog, in 2008, along with John McCain, when they voted to exempt the CIA from those same standards. I find it interesting that he thinks torture is funny and the violations of the Geneva Convention are funny, and it maybe perhaps just exhibits a sort of greater understanding of the Republicans and conservatives in general when it comes to the Geneva Convention. The Geneva Convention only applies when they want it to apply.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the time, it's funny enough to make a joke out of.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it reminds me of Brumfield's joke he wrote on the torture memorandum, said, well, I stand for 8 hours, why can't they?
Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a joke, Scott.
Oh, I thought he was trying to be funny. That's, I mean, that's what the neocons claim, is the Republicans claim that he was just trying to be funny in print.
Mm-hmm. Next, I want to turn to Afghanistan and Pakistan, because the U.S. has been busy. There was another airstrike that killed 20 people as we attacked a Taliban compound in Pakistan, and a suicide bomber took out two GIs and some Afghan civilians earlier this week. And against this backdrop, Scott, Afghanistan is making overtures about talking, setting up direct talks with the Taliban. Now, the Taliban has rejected it out of hand, but isn't this an Obama kind of policy, that they're willing to talk to the Taliban and they don't appear to have set preconditions?
Well, I don't know if it's an Obama policy. It sounds like to me it's a desperation policy. They need to get a handle on the Taliban, and eradicating them is not going to work, because the Taliban isn't, it's a religious philosophy. It's not a disease.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cut out the disease. It grows itself. And the more people that you kill, the faster it grows. And so it's, and by the way, Peter, how do we know it was a Taliban compound in Pakistan?
Because the U.S. said so.
Right. So any place could be a Taliban, fortress anywhere they decide that, oops, well, it was a Taliban. So, you know, those guys that we killed were Talibani or Talibani sympathizers, so, oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a move of desperation to go against the United States, you know, desire to eradicate the Taliban and negotiate with them in some means, or at least talk to them. It sounds like it's what else? It's sort of if you have a bag of diplomatic tools and it's empty,
mm-hmm.
What else do you have left? Military force hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Police force hasn't worked. The power of stern talking to you hasn't worked. So maybe they should talk to them.
All right. We're going to take a break. Return. We'll talk more about Afghanistan. We'll talk about some other military and veterans issues, too. You're welcome to call in toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Nick Tanham's taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Following Obama's money. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Soft focus, violins, and his face on 7 channels at once. Wow. Barack Obama may not be able to pay for all those promises, but he's had no trouble paying for the airtime to publicize them. The campaign is so rich it bought its own channel on the Dish Network to run continuous Obama ads so that you don't have to sit through some boring sitcom to see one. And it must be working. Today, CNN switched Nevada to Leaning Obama. And for a second, I thought they were just going to call the election right there. Let me just check my watch. Yeah, it's not even November yet. The most powerful force in American politics is the marriage of the credit card and the Internet. It's the American Idol model of campaign finance. It's the reason Obama was on 7 channels in The Daily Show while McCain, who chose public financing, was down to robocalls and Larry King.
You tell me the next time now a presidential candidate will take public financing.
He's right. It's dead. According to George Will's column today, and he's a conservative, so these estimates, if anything, would be conservative, 632,000 people gave to the Obama campaign for the first time last month. Average contribution, $86. Which means that if you follow the money, which was the Watergate mantra that led to the public financing of campaigns, it leads you straight to the public. And whatever you think about him, when you look at it that way, the idea that public financing has to use the government as a middleman to collect the public's money and then hand it to the candidates, well, that's starting to look a little, you know, socialist. Now listen.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did, and QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, spending this hour with our military and veterans consultant, Scott Dick. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And we'll be taking your calls next hour, too, in the free speed zone. I want to get your review of Barack Obama's primetime special. Yes, that one was on television last night. Scott Dick, I want to continue our conversation here a little bit more about Afghanistan, because we see that it's just kind of taken as a matter of faith now that America needs to put more troops in there. And as you know, I'm concerned that there hasn't been enough debate about what the mission is, about what the exit strategy is, and what would constitute a victory or a reason to trigger the exit strategy. And you told me before we went on the air today that you've learned that even more troops might be needed in Afghanistan than currently being proposed.
Well, there was a briefing with the spokesman, Greg Morrell, over at the Pentagon, and he got real animated when approached the idea that there's something wrong going on in Afghanistan, where they initially said that they probably surged 10,000 troops in there because that's what the troops needed. But based on commanders' intents and that being a possessive form of intent, mm-hmm. I mean that plural form of intent, and the need for a lot of support troops, military, police, logistics, mine explosives, remote removal, mine clearing, et cetera, et cetera, it's 20,000. And the press asked him, well, when are they going to move these troops? And he's like, well, we have the troops. It's no big deal, but, you know, they just sit around waiting for their beck and call. I mean, he was just, it's all smokescreen. Nobody in the Bush administration wants to admit they screwed up Afghanistan and they don't have the tools they need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So 20,000 more troops in Afghanistan to support the troops there, they're on a mission to do something that you and I both are not quite sure what it is.
Well, and, you know, no matter what number you throw out there, Afghanistan is a country that defies occupation. The Taliban has regrouped and has very strong ties, particularly outside the capital city of Kabul. Our puppet leader there, Hamid Karzai, is a dapper fellow, and he looks good in those outfits and the little caps that he wears.
Little Hugo Boss, sure.
The cape and the cap. But, you know, I am just dubious that putting more American troops in there will do anything more than create targets for the Taliban to try to pick off the occupiers.
Well, there's some evidence to show that the Afghanis inherently despise foreign occupiers. They've been occupied for, what, a couple of thousand years or something like that, off and on?
Mm-hmm.
And they're at their best and least divisive among themselves when they have a foreign occupier to rally them together, to fight together, and then they fight each other once there's no foreign occupier to unite them. And so the idea that we're going to go in there and somehow pacify Afghanistan is really a neocon pipe dream.
Yeah. Well, and they're trying to, it's interesting the way they play with language, because first they advance the notion that the Iraq surge has worked. Just flat out, no proof needed, it's worked. Obama won't admit it, and McCain was right. And then we have the foreign policy expert and military veteran Sarah Palin talking about using the surge strategies to beef things up in Afghanistan. And so they try to want to create the illusion that, first of all, the surge worked in Iraq, and therefore simply putting more troops in Afghanistan is all we need to do to pacify that nation.
Well, I'm pretty confident that if this is not a Republican administration with a Republican Department of Defense, they would be reacting with outrage that this third string or fourth string or airhead governor would come in and say, look, why don't you just employ the same strategy that you used in Iraq? What's the matter with you, generals? Why can't you get your act together? Why can't you accomplish this mission? It's so easy just to employ the surge because it worked in Iraq. It should have worked in Afghanistan. It's outrageous. And it's only because the Department of Defense is run by civilians who happen to be aligned with the wannabe new administration that they're not secretly floating a bunch of bombs out there for these. Say, how dare you, you know, claim that all we have to do is employ the surge and we'll fix Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unfixable country. And without a mission, we've disassembled the Taliban. We chased Osama bin Laden into Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
The country is being flooded with third-party nationals that want to just kill Americans anyway, whether they're mercenaries or they're actually in tune religiously or philosophically with the Taliban. It doesn't really matter.
I agree.
And we're starting to see much more sophisticated attacks. The guy that blew up the people this weekend convinced the police he was delivering candy. I mean, we're seeing all sorts of things. These are dedicated people. And so 20,000, 50,000, 7 million, I don't know what it would take to pacify Afghanistan. And then what, Peter?
Well, then you have to also be prepared to occupy at least portions of Pakistan.
Well, and then you have this low-grade, constant pinprick attacks, a death of 1,000 cuts, troop killed here, a troop kidnapped and his head cut off there, you know, a convoy attacked and people killed. It just goes on and bleeds us for years to years. If we had a stabilization force, let's say, 150,000, 200,000, half a million, running $12, $15, $20 billion a month, what more could Osama bin Laden ask for?
No, we've fulfilled his wildest dreams. There's no doubt about that.
Let's
talk to Gary in Monterey, listening on KRXA. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Peter, and hi, Scott. I've got a question for Scott. Scott, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm an old guy. And, you know, that year I spent in Vietnam was not a very pleasant experience, and it was a seven-day week. It was a 24/7 deal. I was involved with transportation and amphibious operations, and it just never ended. It was either a mission or combat support. All the while I was there.
And, you were walking the wire, one of the three.
Yeah, and what my question isn't to explain my experience. I can't imagine what these poor guys are going through over there when they're over there, you know, 3 or 4 years on extended tours. Can you describe the work week or what kinds of duties these guys are pulling? Because to me, it seems like the Army has to be exact, you know, and Marine Corps for that matter. They have to be absolutely broken after this, you know, 5 years of war.
Well, suicide rate went up 20% in 2007, and that's active Army. These guys that are in Afghanistan, it's a little better in Iraq. They have mobile PXs. I was talking to somebody who actually worked at the PX, and they got shot at as they were going down the road. They actually had to move it because of the bad guys were pretty, you know, there, but they have, like, Anthony's Pizza and Starbucks. And yeah, I'm not saying they live the life of Riley, especially the guys in the green zone. It's a completely different existence for them than the troops you have to go out and patrol. It has to be an absolute hair-raising experience. If you take that and put that against the guys in Afghanistan, they are in these forts, forts from the 18th century, basically. They have these things called Hatton baskets, and they're wire baskets. They fill with rock and dirt, and they stack them up 14, 15, 20 feet high, and they live inside these compounds. They send out patrols. They temporarily occupy hilltops to try to control a valley or some Taliban announcements going on. They dig in. They establish these very temporary camps at the platoon level. They go out there, and they stay for a week, whatever the operation is. Then they fold back into these fortresses, if you will, and continue to operate. So it's hair-raising. They drive out on a road that was secure last week. This week has got an IED, blow somebody up. They're beginning to get buffaloes. They have to deal with MREs, instead of hot food, MREs, day in and day out, water that's bottled, not the ability to take showers, medical care. They fly in if they're wounded or they're sick. And they do that for the full 15-month rotation. They don't get days. I think they get 2 days, 2 weeks off. They fly back to the States or to Germany, depending on where their home base is, and get 2 weeks, and then they get back on the airplane and fly back, and they're right back in the thick of it. They don't have enough troops to take troops out of the line. Remember the Battle of the Bulge? Those troops had been taken out, and they were in that position for a month to give them rest. They thought that was a place that the Germans would never attack. It was rest and relaxation. So it's the kind of thing where they're on 24/7, and we know that. One of the guys I know who is an active duty major who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, that platoon that lost 9 in that firefight, he said, you know, they're probably asleep. And you'll never hear that, and nobody will ever utter that, because the first 90 days is the most dangerous, and the last 90 days. The first 90 days, because they don't know what they're doing, they don't know the terrain, they're trying to learn it. In the last 90 days.
Well, that hasn't changed in 40 years. But I just can't quite understand how a guy 20, 22, 24 years old can do this, you know, 2-3 times these types of tours.
They can't. They can't.
I just don't understand that. It's beyond me.
They're on Prozac. They're on mind-altering drugs. They're sent back into, they're diagnosed with mental injury or TBI, and they're given drugs and sent back to the units and put right back in the field again.
Yeah.
And it's the stress on the individual himself or herself is amazing. There is no civilian equivalent anywhere except for maybe, Peter, I think of the FBI agents that were in that giant firefight. I think it's been about 15 years ago, where like 6 of them were killed. It was huge.
Waco.
Yeah, Waco, right.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Waco. It's another. It was a bank robbery. It went bad.
Oh, okay.
That
well,
kind of thing.
Waco's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But these, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of men and women put under this kind of stress, and they get back on an airplane, they fly to the United States, and they're dropped.
Yeah.
On their
exactly.
front doors and said, and they're told, have a nice life.
That's right. That's just amazing to me. Well, I guess that pretty much covers my question. Just one more question. How long do you think it'll take for Obama to get Tammy Duckworth to be the Secretary of Veteran Affairs?
I don't know, but it could be a minute too soon.
I think that's a foregone conclusion. That's probably the only thing that we could probably take to the bank, that Tammy Duckworth will be in there as Secretary of Veteran Affairs.
Gary, thanks for your service. I salute you.
Okay, thank you. Nice talking to you guys. Take care.
Thanks for calling
Bye.
Today. And Scott, you referenced the suicide rate a couple of minutes ago. The Secretary of the Army, Peter Guerin, has announced a $50 million 5-year study in collaboration with the National Institute of Mental Health to try to identify the causes and risk factors of suicide. And those suicide rates have been climbing. In 2007, 115 soldiers killed themselves, and that's a rate of 18% per 18 per 100,000.
Hey, Peter.
And that's 1% lower than the civilian rate. Yes,
how much money?
$50 million.
Hey, if he gave me $1 million, I could tell him exactly what the problem is.
You'd probably do it for less.
No, I think if he's going to spend $50 million to have a 5-year study. See, this is where stupidity eclipses tragedy. Where let's just have a study.
Right.
$50 million and we'll study these kids. You know, this, and he, this defies, let's see, could the suicide rate have anything to do with time away from families and being in a constant combat situation, multiple tours, times, improperly mentally prepared, yada, yada, yada. And that's what the 6 years from now we're going to read this report. You and I are both going to call each other up and go, hey, I just read the suicide report. Duh.
Yep. And $50 million will have been spent, and we'll probably know as much as we know today
right.
about those issues.
Exactly.
We'll take a break and return with Scott Dick. More of your calls coming up here, 888-5. Peter B. is our number. And you can offer us a comment or a question on military, veterans issues. We'll be happy to take it. And if you're listening on the weekend, your best route is to email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. It's a busy afternoon out there, and the roads are wet, so drive safely. Right now in Salinas, on the West Laurel Drive on-ramp to the northbound 101, we have a traffic collision. CHP is on the scene. Also in Salinas, on northbound 101 at West Laurel Drive, we have a traffic collision. We have no details, but CHP is on the way there. On southbound 101, just north of Baranda, we have a traffic collision there, and CHP is on the way. Taking a look at Santa Cruz on Felton Empire Road at Empire Grade Road, there is a traffic hazard. On Felton at Lay Road, traffic is being closed for 30 to 45 minutes. Next in Santa Cruz on Highway 35 at Hidden Lake Ranch, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. That's traffic this afternoon on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College Trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Hop on, baby, and hold on tight. The Peter B. Collins Show is cruising on, 10 minutes in front of the hour. 888-5, Peter B. is our number. Free Speed Zone coming up next hour, entirely devoted to your comments. And we're joined by Colonel Terry, who's listening in Santa Cruz at KRXA. Hi, Terry.
What a great station it is.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I require friends of mine to change their AM settings in their car to 540.
You set a great example, Terry.
I do. I absolutely follow them out to the parking lot and make sure they do it. As Scott knows, by the way. And Scott is excellent. His insight, full military commentary, and his national strategic analysis is just first rate. It should be General Dick, frankly.
Ooh, I like that.
Absolutely. Let me indicate, I've got 3 points that Scott brought up, and the first is I met with 6 veterans, 2 of Afghanistan and 4 from Iraq, including 2 women, for hours last week in Santa Cruz, all recent combat veterans, says in the last 3 years. I'd like to get Scott's comments if he would agree. They have an impossible mission. These very thoughtful kids said, kids as in 23 and 24 and so forth, they said, Colonel, our colleagues and comrades in arms are being turned into thugs, and that even full colonels are looking the other way at the thuggishness that's happening to our troops in both locations. And that's part of the PTSD that the kids are having as well. It's just in totally contrary to their, as they see themselves, as they see Americans. the disassociativeness. Scott brought up the nuclear weapons, though, missing from North Dakota, and I was on teams that looked at nuclear security issues, and a retired Air Force officer, for six weapons to miss, weapons as well as missiles, to be sent from North Dakota to Louisiana. It's so preposterous, a violation of the multiple security and custodial steps, that I am suspicious that Cheney was somehow involved, because they first reported only five weapons were missing. And then it became, oh, we've got a sixth one here. And I'm not beyond thinking that the conduct of the apparatus is consistent with Cheney perhaps trying a 7 days in May scenario. I'd like to get Scott's analysis to that. And the fact that the Air Force Chief of Staff General Mosley was terminated by Gates is pretty far up the food chain pyramid for custodial activity out in North Dakota and Louisiana. I think Scott would agree with me. However, Mosley's craziness is documented in both Woodward's books and some of the transcripts of Pentagon commentary, as well as a lot of people's recognitions there, that Gates may have removed him because he was in on a cabal with Cheney. And lastly, my third point is, you know, all of this would have been disclosed. We'd be in a much better situation. The kids would know how they got into Iraq, and we might not have gotten even there. We might have fixed things. We might know the truth about the missing nuclear weapons. If, damn it, Pelosi had done her sworn duty to engage for the last 22 months simple investigative impeachment hearings into Cheney and Bush, the country would be better off. The truthful historical realities would be no, and we might be able to correct these mistakes. I'd like to get Scott's reactions on that as well.
Terry, that's quite a portfolio. Go ahead, Scott, dive in.
Well, let me start with the nuclear weapons. I think before the conduct of nuclear weapons, I mean, Peter, just to contrast it, when I was a young lieutenant in Germany, we used to have these missions to go out and occupy what we call die-in-place positions when the Russian hordes came over the border. And those plans, they were called GDP or General Defense Plans, those plans were secret. And I know personally of two officers who lost their careers because they left one, left a roll of the drawings underneath his bed at a hotel we were staying in. We were out on a recon. So they took those kinds of things very seriously. Not even, I mean, we had American troops stationed with the Germans who had nuclear weapons to oversee those weapons, and they were, you know, top secret, cleared people. The idea that we could inadvertently transport six nuclear weapons to another base and not know it, and send nuclear fuses to Taiwan and not know it, means that there's been a complete destruction of all of those policies and the kind of thinking it takes to safeguard nuclear weapons. And I think that's why he said, Buster, you're in charge of the Air Force. This is probably the number one mission you have to accomplish as the Chief of Staff. You're out of here. Because the Air Force fought long and hard to have most of the strategic nuclear arsenal in their service. And, you know, we used to have tactical nuclear weapons in the Army, the little piddly things. And so, but the strategic nuclear weapons, the B-52s, that was all the Air Force. We can deliver those, blah, blah, blah.
All right, hold on a sec, Scott. Terry had a comment. Go ahead,
Well, my
Terry.
Comment is, Scott, you understand, we're talking, I'm going to say, more than three and fewer than 10 people had to completely disregard what is drilled into them.
Right. No, they fired 25 full Air Force colonels as part of the retribution for these mistakes. But compounded that, there were failures in inspections preceding 6 years under the current general and the Air Force Chief of Staff. And so this was the straw. There was a continuing culture of decline in safeguarding the nation's nuclear arsenal. I mean, they had the nuclear, the strategic missiles as well. Those Minutemen were guarded by Air Force and, you know, crewed by Air Force. So for them to fail at that massive a level, Gates had to do something to show, if you're in charge of nuclear products, folks, you need to pay attention or you can lose your career. I mean, retirement. They didn't go to jail. They retired at 100,000, whatever it was, but they didn't get to be the next greatest thing in uniform, which is what all senior officers aspire to.
Now, what about Pelosi's failure for the kids to be told the truth about the war?
It's just part of the whole thing. It's a culture of, you know, whatever. Just whatever. Well, you lied, whatever. I mean, if that's what we're hearing from Pelosi, whatever. And she's got some agenda. I don't know what it is, Peter. It's not transparent. It's translucent, so I can't wait to see what happens next year.
Well, what's visible is that she traded. She made some really ugly moral trades, in my view, where she traded what she saw as advantages for Democrats in this fall's election for, not ending the war and sentencing some number of American troops to die in Iraq, facilitating the spying program, caving in on offshore drilling. I mean, the list goes on and on.
That was a huge cave.
And so much of it was at least explained as, well, we got to take those issues off the table for the campaign this fall. Well, they took them off the table, and we lose a lot in that process.
Exactly.
And Terry had one other point. What was your third one, Terry?
Well, that mostly there may be a Cheney connection to that sixth weapon,
okay.
Scott. And,
yeah.
and I'm not about to say that the conduct and actions don't also include some intentional relocating one to an American city and all that implies.
Well, when it comes to Darth Cheney, I have no, there's nothing I'd put past that guy. Certainly not the protection of the United States or the people. Those are all secondary to his glory ideas of the Republican Party and the neocons. I can't reproduce his thought patterns at all.
Great analysis, Scott.
Terry, always great to hear from you. Thanks for your call today. And Terry's quite a guy. He used to be a McCain supporter, and now he listens to our show and changes people's radio dials. That's progress. Scott Dick, thank you very much for your contribution again today.
No problem, Peter, and hope that we'll have a big to-do on Tuesday night.
Okay, election night should be big. We'll check it out. Scott Dick, thank you very much. Next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You can get a head start. Get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Just 5 days until the election now, and a CBS News New York Times poll gives Barack Obama an 11-point lead over John McCain. And Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says the electorate is polarized.
Voters have some strong feelings about this election. 57% of those supporting John McCain say they would feel scared if Barack Obama was elected president. 47% of Barack Obama's voters say that they would feel scared if John McCain was elected.
Neither man is letting up. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has the campaign day.
There's less than a week to go. 5 days.
In chilly Defiance, Ohio, John McCain told supporters the Buckeye State can put him in the White House.
We're a few points down, but we're coming back.
We are now 5 days away from changing America.
It was 30 degrees warmer in Sarasota, where Barack Obama said McCain's looking in the rearview mirror.
It is time to change drivers. It is time to have somebody else at the wheel.
Obama moved from Florida onto Virginia and Missouri, looking to lock down his lead. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
In the North Carolina Senate race, Democrat Kay Hagan has gone to court because Republican incumbent Elizabeth Dole refuses to pull an inflammatory ad. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports.
The Republican-sponsored Elizabeth Dole ad questioning her opponent's Christianity has generated a firestorm of controversy here in North Carolina.
A leader of the Godless Americans PAC recently held a secret fundraiser in Kay Hagan's honor.
The Democratic challenger is out with an ad which cites the Ninth Commandment of bearing false witness.
I am absolutely outraged. How could she go this low?
Hagan teaches Sunday school and is an elder at her church. Polls have her leading the incumbent Dole. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Are we in a recession? The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy shrank in the third quarter, but the 0.3% negative growth was less than Wall Street expected, and stocks rose today. The Dow gained 189 points to close at 9180. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says two sectors in particular are doing well.
Energy and financial companies have been leading the charge in the past couple of sessions. Energy rallying on news that ExxonMobil reported a quarterly profit of $15 billion. That shattered Exxon's previous record and, in fact, is the best profit of any U.S. corporation ever.
But the trend for oil prices is down. Today, the price of crude fell below $66 a barrel. Tom Kloza of the Oil Price Information Service.
I would hope that this gets viewed as an opportunity, and maybe we put together some energy policy in the next few months while we're the beneficiaries of these sort of retroactive prices.
Kloza says these prices won't last. He advises against going out and buying a big SUV. This is CBS News.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-1443. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-1443. That's 1-800-400-1443. Call now. 1-800-400-1443.
The economy might get worse, but the travel industry believes we'll still take vacations in 2009. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
A new travel forecast says Americans will vacation about the same amount next year as they did in 2008.
And we might even see a modest decline, maybe, you know, a little over 1%.
Travel Industry Association Research Vice President Suzanne Cook says that's not bad.
Given that we are currently in a recession.
Cook says it's become less about where to go for Americans and more about where they can afford to go.
They are open to, well, tell me what you can provide to me. That's a cost-effective trip, and maybe I'll come there.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Holiday air travel just got more affordable. Major airlines have slashed fares up to 25% for the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons. Analysts say the carriers usually don't cut prices this early, but with the slumping economy, they feel they have to offer bargains now to make sure all their seats are filled later. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Today, let's talk about commuting. You think yours is tough? Fact is, our cars and trucks just got to take it. That's why right now there's good wrench and go time to help your Chevy continue to take it. Just go back to your participating Chevy dealer and head down their good wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a good wrench multi-point vehicle inspection. With fuel prices the way they are, taking proper care of your Chevy can help you get more out of every mile. Good wrench and go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
That one, Barack Obama, had a TV special on Wednesday night. Did you see it? What's your review? Give me a call, 888-5-PETER-B.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
Well, there weren't any commercials in the Barack Obama TV special.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution
so you couldn't leave the room.
Without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not
and it was shown in different time zones at different times. People on the East Coast saw it just before the World Series. And here on the left coast, there was an 8 p.m. Pacific time showing on CBS, so that was not affected by the World Series, but as it turned out, the game was over by then. And so I want to get your review, because as a student of politics, and also as somebody who has from time to time worked as a political media consultant, I think that a half-hour program like the one that Barack Obama produced and paid for and presented last night, Wednesday night, was a very powerful tool. And it's something that is available to every candidate for president, for Senate, and for Congress. But only occasionally do people avail themselves of their right to force a broadcast station, a television station, to open up the airwaves to a political candidate for a full half hour. And it's something that I've tried to get other campaigns to utilize, along with paid radio programs, because the same Communications Act of 1934 grants access to federal candidates, that is for House, Senate, and President, the right to ask a broadcast station, radio or television, to make time available for them to present a program. And I've used this for certain campaigns over the years. The most recent was when Pete McCloskey, a veteran, moderate Republican who had served in Congress in the 1960s and 70s and actually challenged Richard Nixon for president in 1972 over the Vietnam War, Pete McCloskey came out of retirement to challenge Richard Pombo. And Jerry McNerney ended up winning that seat in the end for the Democrats. And in the primary campaign where McCloskey faced off against Pombo, we produced a one-hour radio show that was broadcast on KGO in San Francisco, much to their chagrin. And it was an effective way for Pete McCloskey to talk directly to voters. Now, Obama didn't use it on an interactive basis on Wednesday night. The show had a series of anecdotes, vignettes, about real Americans and the problems they're facing with the economy, with health care, with job loss. And for my money, since it was free to watch, I thought it was very well done. What I'd like to know is if you watched it and if you thought it was effective. Did it touch you? Did it move you? Did it tell you something new about Obama? And if you project yourself into the mind of an undecided voter, and who could be undecided at this stage, an independent voter, or even a wavering, wobbly Republican voter, what kind of impact do you think it had? So let me know about that. 888-5, Peter B. is my number, 888-573-8372. The half-hour show was broadcast on Fox, on NBC, on CBS, on Univision in Spanish, MSNBC on cable, TV One, and BET. And this was the first time since Ross Perot bought television time in 92, and I believe he did so in 96 as well. But I do think that he made good use of that and certainly attracted a lot of viewers, if not converting that into votes, particularly electoral college votes. But the Barack Obama Half Hour was produced by Davis Guggenheim, actually directed by him, and he directed Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. And I think they did a good job of bringing substance to the screen as it is lived out in the lives of average Americans. And I think that the stories that we heard about families, retirees who thought they could stay retired, and now the cost of medical care and the loss of retiree health insurance. There was a woman whose husband worked, I believe, in the auto industry his whole life, And she lost her health benefits as the spouse of the retiree. And these are the kinds of really gruesome cutbacks that are affecting working families all over the country. So I'd like to hear your comments on the Barack Obama infomercial. And the term infomercial is probably technically correct, because it is the term that's used when someone buys something more than a minute on radio or television to present a point of view, to try to sell a product or a service. And so it was characterized as an infomercial and dismissed in that way by John McCain, Sarah Palin, and their surrogates. But in the end, I don't think people care about whether it's an infomercial or even the fact that it was a paid program, a piece of propaganda produced by the campaign. I think that Obama showed his telegenic powers, demonstrated his ability to use the cool medium of television in a very cool way. And for me, as a media person and a political watcher, I thought it was a masterful stroke. So my lines are open for you to talk about that. You can also discuss the issues that we brought up earlier in the program today. Mark Klein kicked off our show talking about the NSA wiretapping program and just how pervasive it is. We talked with Caroline Fredrickson of the ACLU about their 80-plus page set of transition agenda items to restore constitutional rule and sensible rule to our country. And we spent last hour with Scott Dick talking about military and veterans matters. So all those are up for grabs, and you're welcome to call in right now. It's our free speed zone, and nobody's on the line, so you could be first. 888-573-8372. Deborah called from Carmel during the news break, couldn't stay on the line, and her question is, where's Dick Cheney? He went into the hospital because his heart had stopped beating on the same day of the final McCain-Obama debate, and she hasn't heard anything. Well, they let him out of the hospital, Deborah, and you can decide whether that's good news or not. But it was, I guess, just a momentary pause, and we don't know what it is that makes Dick Cheney's heart stop beating. Perhaps he got a call from Sarah Palin asking for advice about whether she should hold a press conference or not. And with just a handful of days remaining before the election, it does seem that Governor Palin will be the first vice presidential candidate who avoided the media to the extent of never holding a single news conference since she was named to the ticket. And I think it's amazing. The media should be screaming. We should hear news anchors and network executives and editorial page writers demanding that she face the media and be accountable to more than her handlers and the sycophantic fans who show up and create the mob scenes at the political rallies. And we think that Sarah Palin should face the tough questioning, and I'd love to be a part of the pack at that news conference, because there are so many unanswered questions about her inexperience, about the power grab, her abuse of power in the great state of Alaska since she became governor. And so far, while the media does report that 55% of Americans believe she's not qualified to be vice president and in turn be president, should that be necessary, they really have given her a pass, and they like to, you know, report the controversies that she generates. But I really think that our media should be demanding greater access to and accountability from Governor Palin. All right, Carl's on the line from Oregon. Welcome, Carl. It's Peter B. How you doing?
Well, doing fine. Thank you very much for taking my call.
I've been
listening to you for years.
I hate it when you say that. Haven't you been properly trained if you've been listening for years? It is not necessary to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call.
He's delighted that you...
All right.
a couple things real quickly. I wanted your thoughts on the tightening of the polls at 5%, some are saying now, nationally speaking. And I also want to just get your thoughts. I know in the state of Oregon, as a resident of here, I just want to praise Oregon's system of voting by mail.
Mm-hmm.
I find that it is very efficient. My wife and I have an opportunity to sit down, discuss the issues, vote together, and I find that we don't have to battle weather or long lines, and mm-hmm. I think more of the country should do voting by mail as the primary ways of voting.
Well, you know, I understand the appeal of it and the convenience of it, and I also think that many people do like to go through the ballot and make their decisions in the comfort of their home or talking with a friend or a spouse. But there are vulnerabilities there that we have to take into account. And that is, I could buy your vote. And if you vote by mail, there's really no way that election officials or law enforcement officials would know that. And so there are some issues with the security and the chain of custody of your mail-in ballot once you have filled it out and put it in the mailbox. That said, it's not as vulnerable as a touchscreen voting machine because you're not going to accidentally flip your vote from, say, Obama to McCain.
That is very true, but I would also say that Oregon has really had a great track record in regards to its voting by mail process. The voters have upheld that process for many years, and again, it just seems like we get better voter turnout, more accuracy, and I understand the concerns, but I think overall it seems to be an efficient way mm-hmm. and of voting, at least in our state.
Yeah, and Carl, the other thing is in the San Francisco Bay Area, the voter election officials all announced that they will not reject a mail-in ballot due to insufficient postage. But it's something people should be vigilant about because it varies from one county to the next. And I don't know what the rules are in Oregon. But we learned that in California the ballot is so heavy with all the ballot measures, the initiatives, that it needs about 68 cents worth of postage. And many people would just put a 42 on it and hope that's enough.
Well, I know real quickly in Oregon that has been an issue in some counties because some measures are added in certain counties than others, which makes mail heavier. However, our state has really worked and our counties have worked to approve the state, the county is actually paying for the extra postage if a voter doesn't do that.
Great. Carl, good to hear from you. Thanks for listening to our program.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for making that call.
Thank you.
Your call could be next. I've got a couple of lines available. Things are lighting up here at the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs and investigators in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I've returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Taking a look at Salinas on Rogie Road at Natividad, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. Also, on the southbound 101, just north of Highway 183, there is a traffic hazard. Watch out there. On Archer Road at Castroville Boulevard, there is a traffic collision. A vehicle has hit a fence. Moving up to Santa Cruz on Rodeo Gulch Road, just south of Soquel Avenue, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the scene. Also in Santa Cruz, on Laurel Glen Road, just north of Soquel San Jose Road, a live power line is down. Soquel San Jose Road is closed at Laurel Glen. That's your traffic on AM 540. The Peter B. Cullen Show will be right back.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the actions behind the scenes.
Are you sufficiently distracted?
Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie.
Just another infomercial.
Another song and dance. Another poor sucker who's never had a chance. It's just another captain going down with the ship. Just another jerk taking pride in his work.
A secret caller who works for the U.S. Postal Service relayed information through our intrepid assistant producer, Nick, that any ballots that are mailed in should go through even if the postage is short. They want people to pay the full postage because it allows our secret caller to keep his or her job. But the dirty truth is that even if you don't put enough postage on it, it should be delivered, and it should be delivered in time. And here's a note from Karen in Sacramento. I wasn't that moved by the Obama commercial, but I heard it was targeted to older women who make up the largest percentage of the undecided. Yeah, it wasn't aimed at people who already support Obama. I mean, maybe to help reinvigorate or strengthen or, enhance. But I think it was primarily aimed at people who are called swing voters, who are either undecided at this point or wavering. And in that view, I think it was pretty effective. We got Duncan in Fieldbrook listening. Welcome, Duncan. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot, Peter B. A couple things struck me about it. Number one, during the whole presentation, not once did he attack Bush, not once did he attack McCain, mention McCain or Palin. And, I kept looking at that calm, and you could argue it was rehearsed and he was reading off the teleprompter and all that, but I kept looking at that kind of calm, straightforward demeanor and said, this is who I want to be my commander in chief. because every time I see McCain, you know, he's excited, he's jumping, he's pounding, he's grimacing, and the contrast just, I think, was really startling last night.
Well, and that is what I think Obama really mastered, and if you've been listening over the course of the debates, I offered criticism because I thought he wasn't strident enough. He wasn't really fighting back hard enough. But I think he was right and I was wrong, that his demeanor, his cool presence was really the contrast that swayed a lot of people who watched, McCain up there angry and grumpy and red in the face. And here was a guy who's cool, calm, and collected. And at a difficult time like this, I think people are drawn to cool, calm, and collected, not agitated and cranky.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I. Peter B., one other quick comment. Thanks a million for your continued coverage of election, and election rules and election processes. I don't think it gets nearly enough coverage. And I think by having it on basically every Friday, you really keep us aware, particularly where we're not native Californians coming from other states, to be really attentive to that.
Well, I accept your compliment, and thank you very much. We will keep doing it. Thank
Great.
You, Duncan. And next we go to Travis in Eureka, listening on KGOE. Hello, Travis.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good.
So about the Obama infomercial, I thought it was really good. It was like a good news documentary, something like on PBS, like a Now, but with more emotion and a more cinematic quality to it that really kind of kept you drawn in. And then from time to time when he would come in and give his platform, it was really effective, I thought, in that way. And also, as the previous viewer noted, that there was no negativity about the whole entire thing, a whole half an hour of no negativity. I bet John McCain doesn't have a whole half an hour of positive ads all combined right now. So I thought that was very striking in and of itself.
Yeah, you see McCain and you say, come on, Johnny, pop a Bud Light, maybe even a whole six-pack, and chill. Will you just chill? Thank you, Travis. Great to hear from you today.
Thanks.
All right. More of your calls coming up next as the free speech zone continues. I've got some lines open right now, so don't wait to the end of the hour and be heartbroken. Call me toll free, 888-573-8372, or email Peter at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Number 5 ranked 6-1 Monterey Toreadors need this week's game to stay in the race for the playoff berth. Unranked 2-5 Watsonville Wildcats are going to fight them all the way. Listen here on KRXA 540, 7 p.m. Friday.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Bill Monning.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Holiday season is coming right up. This year, make sure to get the ideal gift for the special children in your life at Thinker Toys. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys has been the most fun place to shop on the Central Coast. With hot new games, books, a huge selection of toys, and a friendly, knowledgeable staff at two beautifully renovated shops. Ensure a great holiday and avoid the last-minute rush by shopping at Thinker Toys today. Open daily. Thinker Toys is in the Del Monte Center and downtown Carmel.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Everybody's a TV critic today. Give me your review of the Obama commercial on television Wednesday night. 888-5 Peter B.
I was walking over the highway. I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. Follow my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for women.
Everclear's electrified version.
This land is my land.
Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. Triple 8-5 Peter B. We're halfway through the free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. And question occurs to me. Whatever happened to Jake? Jake from Eureka used to call me almost every day. Well-informed guy with really brilliant insights on occasion. And somebody told me that Jake took off to campaign for Obama in other parts of the country. And if anybody knows where Jake is and how we can get him to call into the program, I miss him. And I'd love to hear what he's up to. So if you know Jake, pass the word. Peter B's looking for you, and he'd like to hear from you. Let's go to Ron in San Francisco. Hello, Ron. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone.
I'm sure Jake will return with some stories to tell you, Peter.
He's out there somewhere.
You know, if people want to mail their ballots, and what they need to do is send it registered. I mean, it's going to cost a little bit. Every hand that touches that has to sign for it.
Mm-hmm.
There ought to be some kind of a law, like a federal law, that says there's no postage due on a ballot and it goes under registered mail conditions.
I agree with you. I think that if, you know, we're going to shift to this form of voting, that, you know, there shouldn't be any barrier, including postage. And it's something the taxpayers could pick up. I actually think the post office could just be generous about it and consider that a contribution to civic engagement.
Well, they could institute security and facilitate more of an effortless balloting, election effort, because you could do this over maybe a 30-day period or something like that, and a couple-week period, and that would be that. You wouldn't have any big lines. You wouldn't have any voting technology to screw things up or any of that stuff.
Now, Ron, let me give you one example here of where people have mail-in voting regret. And this occurred in the primary in California, which was the first Tuesday in February of 2008. And a week before that, John Edwards pulled out of the race.
Yeah.
And I heard from people who had just mailed in their ballot the day before, people who had gone to his website the night before and made a contribution. And so that was a votus interruptus kind of situation.
Well, if we really wanted to do it right, we'd have some sort of rank voting thing like they have in San Francisco, and we'd also have proportional representation, which is the way things really should be.
Well, I don't disagree on either point. Ranked voting or instant runoff voting would help break the lock the two parties have on our electoral system.
I wanted to also make a comment regarding what happens after the election. I think it would be a huge mistake for Obama not to pursue or allow to be pursued the crimes of this administration, because it will alienate a lot of people who have labored, the 9/11 investigators, all kinds of people. It will alienate a lot of those people, and it will allow, like, the Iran-Contra folks did attack Clinton during his time, and then Obama will possibly be in the same situation. He won't be able to pursue his agenda. He'll have to be defending himself from these attacks, where rightfully these people should be dealt with by special prosecutors, and there's so many crimes that I just think that there's a certain amount of healing that needs to happen in the country, and it has to do with reestablishing the authority of the Constitution, and that can only happen when the judicial process is engaged. And
I fully agree, Ron, and two points. One is Bruce Fein, a principled Republican who's been fighting for the Constitution, will be back on our program tomorrow afternoon, and that's one of the things we'll talk about, accountability up to and including impeachment. And you know, you can impeach a president after he leaves office, and that's something I'm not opposed to. What I fear, though, is that your version of healing is not the same kind of healing that Nancy Pelosi or even Barack Obama will embrace.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is compromised. My understanding is that she knew about these crimes and did nothing. That made her complicit, and so she won't go anywhere with that. And so we may have to throw some people under the bus. I'm not above that. The Constitution should be supreme. My issue is that commissions like the 9/11 Commission and the Warren Report try to cover up things, and if my understanding is, if you confront a state or federal court judge with evidence of treason and a witness, they must investigate that or they're derelict in their duty. And so we need to flood the judicial system with these type of processes. And also in Vermont, allegedly Mike Malloy had on Bill Lugosi, and there's a woman allegedly who's running for the state attorney general's office and fully intends to pursue, when she's elected, to pursue indictments against Bush.
Well, I want accountability, I want full disclosure, and I want to set the standard that we will not tolerate this kind of unconstitutional and illegal behavior in the future. And you can't do that by saying, well, got to move on, well, let bygones be bygones, because they trampled our Constitution, and they did it intentionally. And we cannot just tolerate that and say, oh, Bush, he was bad. Yeah, let's move on. Thanks a lot, Ron. You're a very well-informed guy, and I'm glad you called. All right, good to talk to you. I got lines open in the free speech zone. You can join me, 888-5. Peter B., we're going to pause for a moment here to get news up from R.J. Schulman in the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. This is the news you can't get anywhere else. It's available only at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch website. That's PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. The proprietor, the reporter, editor, and the guy who does all the things there is R.J. Schulman, who joins us once again today. Hello, R.J.
Hi, Peter B. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. It's topsy-turvy. I'm nervous that they're going to steal the election. You know, I like the poll numbers we're seeing, but it's hard to relax at this point.
Absolutely. I just can't believe that it's actually this time next week we may know who is going to be the next president.
Well, we might.
That's what I said, may.
Yes, you did. You choose your words carefully. And, RJ, we've been talking this hour with listeners, getting their reviews on the Obama commercial, the 30-minute program that one did on various networks broadcast on Wednesday night. And you've got the exclusive report that John McCain wants to do it, too. He's got his own 30-minute program coming up.
That's right. It's called Thanks for Nothing. I don't know if I can use the whole name on the air because it's a little bit
I'm going to authorize you to say the whole title.
Okay. Thanks for Nothing, You Ungrateful Whores. The name of his 30-minute TV closing argument.
Well, and it's just another example of his diplomacy and tact, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's really very angry, as we all know, and he's mostly angry at being held back. As a matter of fact, one of his closest aides has said, there's nothing more ineffective than a restrained McKinney.
Yeah.
And so he's going to run this. It's going to run on Fox. And what's going to happen is it basically starts off with the first 10 minutes of it. He's dressed in full military uniform, and he holds up a picture of Barack Obama, and he says these words over and over again, terrorist, Muslim, socialist. And he does that for 10 minutes.
Wow. Who does he think's going to sit still for this trick?
I don't know. Certainly it can't work any worse than what he's been doing, so they're just going to let him go for it.
So this is like all the stuff that's been building up, the so-called straight talk that he wanted to blurt out, but all those lobbyists surrounding him said, oh, not now, Johnny?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he really blasts his own party. He blasts the Republicans, and he says they put the straight talker in a straitjacket, and he's very upset about that.
Uh-huh.
And he actually calls his own party a bunch of Bible-thumping morons who are following George W. Bush to the gates of hell because, and this is a quote, that's surely where the sadist is headed.
Wow. You also have another quote from McCain, and thanks a lot, you imbeciles, who made me select Palin over Lieberman. Friggin' Mike Tyson would have been a better choice. He would have split the black vote and could have at least bitten off Biden's ear at the debate. Seeing Russia from her house, my ass. Wow, this is straight talk from McCain.
Yeah, he's really letting it happen here. And there's some people who feel that if they let him run the campaign, you know, based on how everybody or how most people knew him, that he wouldn't be in the hole that he seems to be in right now.
Yeah. Now, in another story at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch this week, you make a connection between the conviction of Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska by a jury in 4 hours on 7 different counts with the huge gains in the stock market on Tuesday when it went up almost 900 points. I don't get the connection, RJ.
Well, actually, you know, everyone is scratching their head, but it was the only thing in the news. It was the only story was that Senator Stevens was convicted and the market soared. And so many Wall Street experts have put those together and say that finally somebody powerful really got it. Somebody was brought down. There's going to be some accountability. And when the word accountability gets in the people's minds, it gave them this kind of confidence to go back into the market. And that was really the connection. And nobody has been able to dispute that.
Yeah. Now, one of the stories that's at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch that I know some of my listeners are very concerned about, and they've been worried about this for a long time, is that Bush appears to be ready to pull a Bloomberg and say that the world and the nation need him so much that he needs to serve another term. God, I can't even believe I said that. RJ, tell me, is this true?
Yeah, I mean, there is a rumor, and we do have a story. Basically, he's doing it not so much for the power. He's just very afraid that he's not going to be able to get another job. So he's planning to suspend the election. And we'll know for sure if that happens in the next couple of days.
Wow. So it's not a power grab. It's just that he doesn't know what to do with himself if he's not the decider, the president, the whatever he is.
Yeah, I mean, what he wants to do is, you know, he says here that he kind of understands what he's done. He says, be candid camera about it. This is a quote. If I had to step down, where could I steppicate to? Other than messing up as being the Pope, I have dissembled everything there is to do in this world. He says he's lost money in the oil business. He traded Sammy Sosa to the Cubs. He Katrina'd New Orleans and the economy. He's ruined the Constitution. And he says, quote, now who would hire me back?
Yeah. The bridges I've burned have fallen down due to crumbling infrastructure. The bridges I haven't burned have fallen down due to crumbling infrastructure. So he thinks he'll have nothing to do, and so that's why he's suspending the election.
All right. Well, RJ, you got the news that nobody else has, and it's online at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's RJ Shulman at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you, Peter B.
All right.
Talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have some good news.
Yep, we're looking forward to that. Thank you very much. Back to the phones. It's Valerie in Monterey. Hello, Valerie. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter B.
How you doing?
I am very concerned. I am listening to your callers talk about absentee voting.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl up in Oregon thinks it's just the best thing that's ever happened to him. And it's unfortunate that he hasn't walked a mile in my shoes because it takes getting out there and going to elections and observing all the procedures from the time ballots are mailed out to the time the final vote count and the final tally, and you're looking at a six-week process of processing these vote-by-mail ballots. And what we are trying to stress to our voters is if you go to the polling place, they hand you a ballot, you mark it, it goes into the ballot box, returns to the election department, and is counted that night.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most secure way of voting. There's no question about whether your signature will be matched to what's on your form in the computer.
Right.
There's no problem with the vote being lost in the mail. You mentioned vote buying, and I have heard from a reliable source that that is a major, not only a concern, but a happening.
Mm-hmm.
And people think, no, that doesn't happen, but they have to realize that we don't vote in a vacuum. Our votes may be secure and protected, but we have to think about all the other votes.
And whether it's a candidate or a ballot measure, many corporations make a calculation that either making political contributions or, in extreme cases, buying votes is a very cost-effective way of getting things out of the government, whether it's pork barrel spending or legislation that favors a given interest group or company. And so that, when you reduce it to a cost of doing business, it's a very efficient investment for many unethical or, immoral people.
Right, and you're very astute, but the media is not announcing that this is a concern. You don't hear about that anywhere else.
No, it might discourage people from voting, Valerie.
Well, and the other problem is the U.S. Postal Service has a major lobbying effort to convert all of the states to vote by mail, and they're not planning on doing it for free.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Now, and my third point is, Ron, I think, up in San Francisco mentioned that, well, there's no voting technology to worry about when you vote by mail. Well, apparently he doesn't realize that in Monterey County, for example, all paper ballots are being optically scanned and then tabulated through software-dependent machines.
Yeah. And those tabulators are less vulnerable than touchscreen machines, but they are not secure.
But in fact, trying to get the records, which is what we're trying to do right now, we're trying to get audit logs and databases, electronic records, is a serious problem.
Yeah. Valerie, I got to run to a break. Great to hear from you today.
Thanks
for your election protection efforts.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break and return to the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good evening. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on San Miguel Canyon Road at County Road 12, a dog has been hit and is injured in the road. Watch out for him. CHP is on the way there. Next, in Monterey on Potter Road at Old Stage Road, there is a traffic collision, and CHP is on the way. Moving on to Santa Cruz, there is a mattress in the road on Redwood Drive at San Lorenzo Avenue. Be careful there. On Highway 17, just north of Vine Hill Road, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. Also on southbound Highway 17 at Mount Hermon Road, there is a moving roadway hazard. A big rig tow is towing a semi. Be careful there. On Highway 9, just south of Keystone Way, there is a traffic collision. An SUV is on its side. Watch out, everybody. Have a safe commute. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Hello, I am Frank O'Connell, a candidate for Marina City Council. As a resident of Marina for over 28 years and a member of the Marina Planning Commission since February 2007, I've become concerned about the economic and physical growth of our city. Many decisions by your elected and appointed officials lead me to believe that they are out of touch with what is in the best interest of the residents and businesses of the city. There are many wonderful aspects to Marina, a new library, a new high school, and a wonderful opportunity to properly revitalize the downtown area and the airport business park. You can only assure that your concerns are addressed first by making certain that your elected officials make decisions that are based on those concerns and your vision for Marina. As your councilman, I will strive to meet with you at town hall meetings so that I can learn what you want for your city prior to making those decisions. I will apply my knowledge and experience to make certain that your concerns about the direction and growth of Marina come first and Marina's campaign for change succeeds. I am Frank O'Connell, and I approve this message.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you'd like to support our efforts and keep us on the air, your help's always appreciated. Just visit my website at peterbcollins.com. On the homepage, there's a link that says, You Can Help. And if you don't use the Internet, you can always write to me. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, zip code 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. Up next, John in Brookings, Oregon. John, welcome to the PBC show today.
Hey, Peter B. Love your show.
Thank you.
Vote by mail situation, I've lived in Oregon for about 8 years now, and I was skeptical of the vote by mail when I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all here, you know, if we live somewhere else. But I'd like to point out that you've never done it, probably, and that lady previously has never done it. You would not believe how good it is. Our state prints pamphlets, state-printed pamphlets of all the measures. You can sit in your house for 2 weeks and read this. This is nothing but being informed. You go on one day to your precinct, and you have to figure out how you're going to vote on all these measures, and some of them you didn't even know were on the ballot.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, we get a voter guide in California, too, and it comes in a month before the election, and you can mark it up and, you know, take a sample ballot or just a cheat sheet into the polls with you. So I do understand the convenience, and I don't undermine that in any way.
Yeah.
I just don't want people to assume that it is a fully secure system because there is the risk of vote buying. There is also the risk of your vote not being properly tabulated, or the tabulations could be manipulated late at night, as has happened in a few recent elections. So, you know, by and large, because there are no touchscreen machines, there's no secret code there, there's no Diebold involved, it is a cut above electronic voting. But I don't want to leave the impression that it's entirely secure, because humans are humans.
No, I was raised back east, and that's where I came from, and your vote could be bought back there anytime. You know, you get a drink for doing your supposed duty. And we didn't have voter pamphlets back east in most states either, and I doubt if many states actually have that.
I don't know the answer to that. Because I've been voting in California for 30 years, so
every state varies so much.
Yeah. All right, John, well, I appreciate your call. I want to jump to Ben in Salinas because he's always got something to say. Hello, Ben.
Peter, that brigade that they brought back from Iraq?
Yeah.
7,500 soldiers. Where are they and what are they doing? What are they being prepared for? What the hell has Bush and Cheney got up their sleeve? They've already sucked the treasury dry. What the hell else do these vampires want?
They'll never stop, Ben.
Some of those soldiers should call the media or their family. Where are I think they're being prepared to surround the White House and the Pentagon if people get mad if they try to, well, we can't accept this verdict of the election, so I'm going to stay in for 4 years.
Well, Ben, have you seen the news stories in recent weeks where they said if Obama loses, they are concerned about civil disturbances?
Exactly.
And honestly, I think that's a crock. I don't see that Obama has any kind of hardcore violent types of supporters who are going to take to the streets violently if he loses. I could be wrong, but I just don't see that.
But the Sarah Palin supporters will, because they're so racist, they can't stand it. They've broken all their mirrors because they can't look into their mirror, see a white guy, and understand why we should accept a black president. Because he's a man of honor, morons.
Yes, he is.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And he has won this thing fair and square. And he beat the Clinton machine. John and Coralitas, you get the final word tonight on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, great. Thanks, Peter B., new listener and really enjoying your show.
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment on the woman that was calling in, I believe two callers prior to myself.
Be quick. Go ahead.
Those of us that are in the semi-rural and rural areas of California, we have to vote by mail. Mm. They don't provide ballot precincts.
Oh.
So for some of us, you know, we don't have a choice, you know.
Well, but at least you don't have to face the choice of a Diebold touchscreen machine. Thank you very much, John. I appreciate your call. And thanks for listening to this episode.
Happy trails to you.
You can share a podcast with a friend or listen to it yourself. The link's on my homepage, peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails.
We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Go McCain! Go McCain!
John McCain in Ohio and Barack Obama in Florida had a long-distance debate over economic policy today.
This is a time when we need to be encouraging more investing, not taxing it. We can't let them get away with making a bad economy even worse. Now's the time to grow our economy, and that's what I'm going to do.
If you want to know where John McCain will drive this economy, just look in the rearview mirror. Because when it comes to our economic policies, John McCain has been right next to George Bush.
From Sarasota, Obama moved on to Virginia and Missouri. In the latest CBS News New York Times poll, Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says the Democrats enjoy a comfortable lead.
Among likely voters, including those who lean towards a candidate, 52% now support Barack Obama and Joe Biden. 41% support John McCain and Sarah Palin. Just 5% of likely voters remain undecided.
A prominent New Hampshire Republican who supported Mike Huckabee in the primaries and then switched to McCain has resigned from McCain's New Hampshire Leadership Committee. Fred Bramante has endorsed Barack Obama because he likes Obama's education ideas. The economy lost ground in the third quarter. The Commerce Department says gross domestic product declined by 0.3% as businesses and consumers cut spending.
We haven't seen a quarter with this kind of reduction in consumer spending since the early 80s.
Michael Santoli of Barron says they expect the current quarter to be worse, and two quarters of negative growth is the traditional definition of a recession. Stocks rose today, the Dow up 189 points to 9180. But CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says, watch out next week.
A big question mark for Wall Street, of course, is unemployment. We get the monthly unemployment report next Friday. We're not expecting good things from that report. Depending on how bad it is, we could have a negative reaction on Wall Street. And just over the past week, American Express said it would cut 7,000 jobs, Whirlpool 5,000 jobs.
Bucking the trend, Ford says it will add 1,000 workers at its truck plant in Dearborn, expecting strong sales of the redesigned F-150 pickup.